WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Betty White died on December 31st, a few weeks shy of what would have been her 100th birthday. Her television career spanned the history of TV itself, and that's no exaggeration. Betty White first appeared on television straight out of high school on an experimental Los Angeles station in 1939. Her first regular co-starring TV role came a decade later on the long-running local variety show called Hollywood on Television. It was long-running not only because it ran for years, Betty White took over as host in 1952, but because it ran for more than 5 hours a day, 6 days a week. Betty White was starring on TV, locally and nationally, the same time Lucille Ball was starring on I Love Lucy. And in that period, Betty White took a recurring sketch from her variety show and turned it into its own network sitcom called Life with Elizabeth. It's the same trick Jackie Gleason would do a few years later with The Honeymooners. And she co-produced her sitcom, making her one of TV's first female producers. In the 60s, Betty White kept busy with TV game shows, especially as a frequent guest on Password, where she met and eventually married that show's host, Alan Ludden. On TV, unscripted, she was very warm and friendly, which is why it was such a surprise and such a smart bit of reverse casting when she was asked to join the Mary Tyler Moore Show in the role of Sue Ann Nivens, the TV station's happy homemaker. Sue Ann was like Julia Child, talking to viewers at home from her kitchen and cheerfully guiding them through recipes. Well, cheerfully, as long as the TV camera was on.
Somebody forgot to plug in the oven. Well, I guess that just goes to show that anybody can make a mistake, even your happy homemaker. Now, don't you go away. We'll be right back after this commercial message.
All clear.
All right, who the hell is responsible?
Betty White won Emmys for that role in the 1970s. She also won an Emmy for her role as Rose in the 1980s sitcom The Golden Girls, holding her own opposite Rue McClanahan, Estelle Getty, and in this scene, Bea Arthur.
Rose, is this another one of those Scandinavian Viking concoctions?
Yes. It's called Gnurkenflöten cake. It's an ancient recipe, but I Americanized it.
Yeah, so one might say you brought Geflerkenerken into the 80s.
Yes, but I'm not one to blow my own Vertuvenflügen.
Betty White won Emmys in two other decades. One in the 90s as a guest actor on the John Larroquette Show, and another in 2010 for guest hosting Saturday Night Live. It was a gig she had turned down repeatedly, but reconsidered after a grassroots campaign surfaced on social media, something she acknowledged in her opening monologue.
When I first heard about the campaign to get me to host Saturday Night Live, I didn't know what Facebook was. And now that I do know what it is, I have to say, it sounds like a huge waste of time.
As she was guest hosting SNL, Betty White also was co-starring in a new sitcom called Hot in Cleveland, which ran for 5 years. In that series, her character got a marriage proposal very late in life, courtesy of guest star Carl Reiner, who popped the question while they were eating at a restaurant. Those two old pros were TV stars in the 1950s. He was part of the classic variety series Your Show of Shows. And they worked great together.
I think we should get married.
Me too. Yes, it's salt.
Really? You'd marry me?
Yeah, I would. Why dance around? We're perfect for each other.
I'm glad to hear that. Oh, here's your salt. I'm impressed you can still use that.
Oh, I know how to shape what I've got.
And now, we'll end this tribute by revisiting a Fresh Air interview with Betty White. Terry Gross spoke with her in 1987 when the actress was co-starring on The Golden Girls.
I think the first series that you had was called Life with Elizabeth.
Uh-huh.
Would you describe the character that you played?
They were young marrieds with no children, and she was not too bright, and he was maybe one shade brighter than she was. Neither one of them were nuclear physicists.
TV Guide in 1953 or 54 wondered if you'd become the TV version of America's sweetheart because of your role in that series. Did you ever feel stuck with that kind of image?
Nope, because I was doing a lot of other things along with it, and everybody thought of me as very sweet and yucky and all that stuff. But then at the same, when Jack Parr started, I did about 75 of his shows. And when you're in a talk show, you're yourself, so people could realize that you're not that ditzy character that they saw on the screen.
It was, I think, with the Mary Tyler Moore show that you really started to get a different kind of image on TV. You played Sue Ann Nivens, the happy homemaker, who was the happy homemaker on television, but off screen she was very catty, conniving. How did you get cast in that image? It really seemed to be casting against type at the time.
Well, it was great fun. Mary and I were great and good friends, and the fourth year that her show was on, I had sweated out, Alan and I, my husband Alan Ludden and I, had sweated out her pilot and the whole show, so we had a rooting interest in the show. So the writers came up with an idea. They wanted a yucky, icky, sweet Betty White type for a happy homemaker for a one-shot on the show. So I guess they tried a lot of other people and couldn't find anybody yucky enough. And so they called me and asked me if I'd like to do the show. And it was a thrill because, as I say, it was a one-shot. But that night, they said that they were going home and starting another script. And 2 weeks later, I was back with another script. And that was exciting.
Were you insulted at all that they were looking for this bland, sweet Betty White type?
Insulted? Of course not. They wouldn't say those things if they didn't know better about the lady herself. See, that's the fun of it. That's the humor of it. And you can be that type to some people in the audience who are looking for that, and some of the other people in the audience will see through that and see the rotten person underneath.
One of the things I really liked about the role was that it proved that you really had a sense of humor about the image that you had.
Well, I don't think anybody who knew me could have missed the fact that I had a sense of humor about that, because I never was being the sweet type. I've always had a rather bawdy sense of humor, and my mother and dad before me, there wasn't a straight man in the family. And so a lot of people, you'd meet them at a party, and they'd say, oh, gee, I didn't realize. I never liked you till I realized that you weren't that person.
Now you're in a series in which you've become better known and more popular, I think, than you've ever been in your career. Did you expect that as you got older, you'd get more visible, more popular?
Who would ever dream of such a thing? The four of us, Estelle and Bea and Rue and I, continually congratulate ourselves on the fact that this took off from nowhere. We had no idea we'd be getting into something like this. And it's a joy to work together, and we respect each other so professionally. But we didn't expect to also adore each other the way we do. We can't wait to go to work in the morning.
In a way, I think the characters on The Golden Girls have become role models of sorts for older women. Have you found that women have been inspired to live in small groups because they've seen it on television?
I don't know about living in small groups. All that I think we have accomplished is to show that there is an alternative lifestyle for the lonely ladies out there. If you notice, the Golden Girls are not together for economic reasons. They're together for sociological reasons. It combats the loneliness.
You've lived alone since the death of your husband, Alan Ludden. I guess that kind of lifestyle wouldn't be for you.
No, nor for Bea, nor for Rue, nor for Estelle, oddly enough, because Estelle maybe. Estelle might be able to do that. But we're all basically people who enjoy being alone, but that's only because we've worked in this business all our lives where we're with people all the time. So being alone is a boon, and I'm sure that drives everybody crazy who is lonely and wishes they had more to do, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that I am in that position more than I can tell you.
Now that you're in The Golden Girls, do fans relate to you differently than they did, say, when you were in the Mary Tyler Moore show, or even before that when you were in your early sitcoms?
Not really. It's the same one-on-one. Remember, I've always been just a television child. Not films, not stage. Not there's not that guard all wall out there that keeps you kind of remote from your people. You've been in their home. They haven't gone to some place in a big audience to see you. So you feel like you're a friend of somebody under those circumstances. The only change is that with the popularity of Mary and then the popularity of the Golden Girls, the numbers of the people who stop you increase. But the relationship is really the same.
Why haven't you done films? Was that intentional?
That was by choice. I've done a couple cameo appearances, but that doesn't appeal to me. Television, you're working all the time. I mean, you get into it, you're busy. With films, many times you have to go on location, you're away from home, you're not in every scene, so you do a scene and then you sit and wait forever. And when you've been used to television, that's a grueling experience, and I don't feel any ego need to be on the big screen because I reach a lot of people on the little screen. I've turned down several Broadway shows because, again, I love my home and I want to live in it.
Betty White speaking with Terry Gross in 1987. She died December 31st, a few weeks shy of her 100th birthday.